Going to turn, if we could please, to a verse of Scripture, a text of Scripture, just to begin with, 2 Corinthians and chapter 6, please. The book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians and chapter 6. And there is a verse in this particular, a word rather, in this particular verse of Scripture, which is a very familiar word, and particularly when we come to a gospel meeting like this, it's a key word when we come to preach the truth of salvation and the truth of forgiveness of sins and getting right with God. We'll read the first two verses, please. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1. We then as workers together with him, that is with God, receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And that last sentence in verse number 2 is familiar to us all. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The brothers were singing to us just now, almost persuaded. Seems now some soul to say, go spirit, go thy way. And yet here's a verse of Scripture that would speak to us all. Young or old, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. That word salvation appears many times throughout the Old and New Testaments, and I'm sure those of you who know your Bible well or have been brought up in Sunday school or are familiar with lovely little Bible texts and pictures as Sunday school prizes, there would be quite a number of verses would come to your mind with the word salvation in it. In the book of Titus in chapter 2 we read, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Isn't that a lovely verse? The grace of God. God in matchless grace. God, not because we deserved it, but the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to not some men, not some, but has appeared to all men. That's a lovely verse teaching us about the invitation and the call to salvation. In the book of Hebrews, we're told, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? It's a great salvation, and it's come to us by the grace of God. And the grace of God says, well, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And the Apostle Paul, as he went preaching, he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And as Paul went preaching, whether it was in to the Corinthians, as we're reading here in 2 Corinthians, or whether it was to the people in Rome or Ephesus or any of those New Testament cities where Paul went preaching, he said this, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God unto salvation. When Paul wrote to Timothy, he says that from a child you've known the holy scriptures which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. And how many people this evening sitting in this lovely church building could say that, well, from a child I was taught it. I learned it as a little one at Sunday school. I learned it at children's meeting. I learned it even at home. My mother, my father, my grandparents, they taught me. I learned the way of salvation from a child I've known it, which was able to make me wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ. And then, of course, Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, because there's no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. We live in a day and a generation where everybody's right. All religions lead to God is what we're told, or maybe God doesn't even exist. That's the philosophy of today's generation. And surely God couldn't say there's only one way, but the Bible teaches us this: neither is there salvation in any other. There's no salvation in any other religion, no salvation in any other person. There's not salvation in a way of life or a culture, but there's neither salvation in any other, because there's no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. That's an absolute. And it teaches us that when the Lord Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man cometh unto the Father but by me," salvation is found in Christ and in Christ alone. But here's this verse this evening, and it says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." There's one word which appears twice there's two words which appear twice, but one in particular. It's the word "now." Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And that's where the emphasis of our final song that the brethren sang to us, "Almost Persuaded," almost. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Another Sunday evening service, and well, maybe you're planning on next week's service, or maybe you're planning on next week's meeting, next Sunday, or maybe the week after, but the Bible would say to you this evening, the Holy Spirit would come and he would say, "Behold, now. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation." A father was enjoying a day out along the coast with his son. They had enjoyed a morning just browsing around the shops, and the father promised his little boy, his 7 or 8 year old, that he would take him out on the afternoon for a walk. So after they'd had their lunch in their guest house, the father and the little boy went out for a walk along the shore, along the coastline. And the little fella, he just loved bouncing up and down on the rocks and getting as near to the water with his ball as he could. And the father and he were just enjoying a lovely afternoon along the coast. The afternoon wore on, and the father, as dads do, he got a little bit tired. And he sat down in a little area of grass, and the wee fella played on the side of along the rocks there, just by the shore. And as it happened, not only did the father sit down, but he began to be drowsy, and he dropped off to sleep. Seemed to be not so long, but whenever he stirred himself again and realized that time had moved on, and he looked at his watch, and over an hour had passed. And so he lifts up his eyes and he looks around, "Where is I?" And he sees, to his horror, just out there from the shoreline, that the wee fella has got out onto a clump of rocks. But to his horror, he realizes that the tide has turned, and the rocks are now covered and surrounded, or they're surrounded in water. And in fact, the water's come in so much so that the little fella's unaware of his danger. He's sitting perched and just enjoying himself on the top of these rocks. And within minutes, that tide is going to cover those rocks. The father jumps up off the ground, and he begins to wade out into the water, and he cannot swim. And he gets as far as he can, and his shoulders are right up around, and the waves are licking around his chin, and he can go no further. And he says to the wee fella, "Jump into my arms." He's not just touching him, but he says, "Jump into my arms. Do it now. Now's the accepted time. Now's the day of salvation. Do it now, or the tide will come in and you'll be washed into the sea." And friend, this evening, the call of the gospel goes out, and how do you know, but this might be the last moment. If you delay another day, if you delay another meeting, if you delay another week, it will be forever too late. Your day of salvation, the opportunity to trust Christ, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Almost persuaded. but there's a little voice in your mind that says, what will my friends say? There's another little voice that says, but you'll have to repent of that. And another voice says, but what about those things? But the voice of Christ comes, the Holy Spirit strives, and he says, behold, now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. As I read through the scriptures, I read at least on four occasions of people whose day of salvation came, and each of them had a different response. I wonder if you would like to turn with me, please, to a man whose day of salvation came, and he didn't believe it. He didn't believe the day of salvation had come for him, and he missed it. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Kings in chapter 7. This morning we were in 2 Kings in chapter 6, but here we are at the end of 6 and into 7 of 2 Kings. And we're again with this king of Syria, who we read about this morning. And things have moved on, and we're at the end of chapter 6 and verse number 30. And Ben-Hadad is the king of Syria, and he is, with his armies, he has besieged the city of Samaria. And the story, as we'll read it in a moment or two, is such that the famine in the city has become so severe that a donkey's head is now being sold for 80 shekels of silver, and a quarter portion of dove's droppings are being sold for 5 pieces of silver. Such is the extremity of the hunger inside the city. We'll read verse number 30 of chapter 6. And it came to pass when the king heard the words of the woman. We'll read verse 24 just to catch up on that. Verse 24 of 2 Kings 6. It came to pass after this, that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his host and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it until a donkey's head was sold for 80 pieces of silver, and the quarter part of a portion of dove's droppings for 5 pieces of silver. And as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, help my lord, O king. And he said, if the Lord does not help thee, from where shall I help thee? Out of the barn house, or out of the barn floor, or out of the wine press. And the king said unto her, what aileth thee? What's your problem? And she answered, this woman said unto me, give me thy son, and that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. So we boiled my son and did eat him. And I said unto her the next day, give thy son that we may eat him. And she has hid her son. And it came to pass when the king heard the words of the woman, that he rent his clothes and he passed by upon the wall. And the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth within upon his flesh. Then he said, God do so and more also to me, if the head of Elisha the son of Shaphat shall stand on him this day. But Elisha sat in his house, and the elders sat with him, and the king sent a man from before him. But before the messenger came to him, he said to the elders, see ye how this son of a murderer has sent to take away my head. Look, when the messenger cometh, shut the door and hold him fast at the door. Is not the sound of his master's feet behind him? And while he yet talked with them, behold, the messenger came down unto him and said, behold, this evil is of the Lord. Why should I wait for the Lord any longer? Then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, 2 measures of barley for a shekel, in the gate of a Samaria. And here's the verse. Then a lord on whom the hand of the king, on whose hand the king leaned, answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be. And Elisha said, Behold, you shall see it with your eyes, but thou shalt not eat thereof. And as the chapter unfolds, you'll find how God sent a mighty miraculous deliverance. Salvation came to this besieged city. And this Lord, who was the king's right-hand man, the king deputized him to stand at the gate of Samaria and to give out the food that was supplied to the people. And the man was trampled in the stampede. And he said, if God would make windows in heaven, would this thing happen? And Elisha says, you'll see it with your eyes, but you'll not eat of it. His day of salvation came, and he didn't believe it. Is there someone in this gathering this evening, and this is your day of salvation, but your response is this: it's for everybody else, but it's not for me. I've tried it before, and it doesn't work. Well, I don't know what you've tried before, but let me say this: the Lord Jesus is able to save to the uttermost all who come unto God through him. I'm not sure what your experiences have been in life or what it is that's brought you to where you are with your unbelief and with your the idea that somehow or other salvation is not for you. I've met a number of people in life who would say, I wish I had your faith, or I wish I could believe what you believe, or I wish, and they say, but I can't believe it. And yet salvation is offered, and Jesus says, come, and they say, well, I can't believe. What is it that's causing you to think like that this evening? What is it that Satan has blinded your mind with? Can't you see that now is the accepted time? Now is the day of salvation, and the Bible encourages you. Jesus says, come, just come. Come as you are. Come with your sin. Some people feel, well, you know, if I'm going to come, I've got to clean up my life before I come. I've got to sort things out before I come. And yet the Bible says, come as you are. Young fella, he tells his testimony, and he says, you know, he used to feel that before he could become a Christian, he had to do this, that, and the other and sort his life out. And the fella who was witnessing to him says, you know, whenever you play football on Saturday afternoon and you've got your football kit completely dirtied and it's caked with mud and you take it home, tell me, do you ever think of cleaning it up before you give it to your mother to put in the washing machine? He says, no, I just give it to her the way it is. And he says, well, that's just how you come to Christ. You come with all your dirt and all your sin, and you just say to him, Lord, save me. You come as you are. And the Lord would call you this evening, just as you are. He says, come unto me, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. But this man in our story, his day of salvation came, and he didn't believe it. But there's another lady in Scripture, and her day of salvation came, and she didn't want it. She didn't want it. Turn with me, if you would, to Genesis chapter 19. And sad to say, but in every congregation there can be people, and they say, I know all the facts. I've heard them all before. I believe in salvation. I believe in heaven. I believe in hell. I believe there's a God. I believe in sin. But you know what? I don't want salvation. I don't want to know anything about this. It's not for me. And in Genesis chapter 19, we have the record of a lady, and her day of salvation came, and she didn't want it. Imagine sitting in a gospel meeting, and your day of salvation comes, and you've already made up your mind. I don't want it. I've got sins that I want to hold on to. I've got things that I'm not prepared to leave. And here's the story of Lot and his wife and his family, and they're in Sodom in chapter 19. And it says, there came two angels to Sodom at evening. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go in your ways. And they said, no, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house. And he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. And verse 4 must be one of the most horrible verses in all of the scriptures. And before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, surrounded the house round about, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men who came to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out to the door unto them, and shut the door behind after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters who have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And we'll leave the story until we come to verse 15. And it says, when the morning arose, the angels hurried Lot, saying, arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the man laid hold upon his hand, upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought them forth and set them outside the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for your life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Then verse 24. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Why did the Lord Jesus say, remember Lot's wife? Well, simply this. There's two angels, and one of them grabs Lot's hand, and with the other hand he grabs his wife. And another angel takes one daughter, and he takes the other daughter in his hand, and they say, escape for your life. Judgment is about to come. And as they make their way out of the city, Lot's wife, she says, but I love what's back there. I'd rather be back in Sodom. I don't want to leave. And she turns around with a longing heart, and she says, I'd rather be there. And immediately God's judgment falls upon her. Her day of salvation came, and she did not want it. She loved her sin. Is that you this evening? Your day of salvation comes, and you hear a word that says, behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. And like Lot's wife, you say, I don't want it. That's a horrible place to be. A day of salvation comes and you don't believe it. You don't want it. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, the Lord Jesus tells a parable, and the purpose of telling this particular story was no other reason than to teach one particular lesson. And these people's day of salvation came, and they weren't ready for it. Matthew 25, verse 1, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps, went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. Then they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil in them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Their day of salvation came, and they weren't ready for it. No indication that these people did not believe. No indication that they didn't want. No indication that they hadn't a desire to be ready, but they never made preparation. Many folks this evening, you can say, yes, I believe in heaven. I believe in Christ and that he died on the cross. I believe that I'm a sinner. I believe I can't save myself. I believe that I need to be a Christian, but do you know what? I've never made preparation. I'm like the five foolish virgins. My day of salvation has come time and time again. I've never prepared. Maybe tonight the Lord's encouraging you to prepare, to get ready, to accept his offer of mercy, and to come to Christ. Finally, and very briefly, Luke chapter 19. A man whose day of salvation came, and he did not miss it. His day of salvation came, and he did not miss it. The first man, his day of salvation came, he didn't believe it. Lot's wife, her day of salvation came, she didn't want it. The five foolish virgins, their day of salvation came, they did not prepare for it. But look at this man, his day of salvation came, and he didn't miss it. Chapter 19 of Luke, in verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the crowd, because he was little of stature. And he ran before or ahead and climbed up a sycamore tree to see Jesus, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. It's quite significant that in the early verses there, it says that Zacchaeus sought to see Jesus, who he was. Zacchaeus didn't know Jesus. But when Jesus came to the tree and looked up, Jesus knew Zacchaeus. And Jesus knows you this evening. Knows about where you are. You may think you're hiding up a tree. You may think you're hiding in a corner. You may think, well, not anybody knows how I'm thinking. But you know what? Jesus knows your name. Knows all about you. Knows where you are. And Jesus came to the place where Zacchaeus was, and he looks up into a tree and he says, Zacchaeus, come down. Come down. Zacchaeus, with all his turmoil going on in his mind and wondering what was beginning to happen, it says in verse 6, he made haste and he came down and he received Jesus joyfully. If you're ever going to become a Christian, you've got to come down. You've got to humble yourself. Got to acknowledge that you're not saved, that you need to be saved. And you've got to receive him. Welcome him. Because John tells us, as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe on his name. Verse 7 reads on, and when they saw it, the crowd saw it, they all murmured, saying that Jesus was gone to be the guest with a man who is a sinner. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. If I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And then verse 9 is wonderful, and Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. His day of salvation came, and he didn't miss it. Jesus was to pass through Jericho in chapter 19 of Luke for the last time. He would never come that way again. He was on his way to Jerusalem and to the cross and to Calvary and to everything that lay before him. And on one occasion, Zacchaeus sets aside his busyness and all that he was engaged in, and he made a point of seeking to find Christ, and a seeking Savior and a seeking sinner always meet. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Today, will salvation come to this house? Is there someone? And you can put yourself where Zacchaeus was, and you say, Lord, you came to seek and to save that which was lost. You went to the cross and you took my sins. You bore the judgment of God for me. Lord, save me. And Jesus will hear and Jesus will save, because Romans says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. May God bless his word to your heart this evening. And if a conversation with me would help, I'd be very happy to speak with you. But if you just want to get alone with the Lord somewhere, you do just that and lift your heart to him and let him hear your cry for salvation for his name's sake. Amen.